passion and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, Hour 4 podcast.
This might be college football heaven.
We're back. What an afternoon this has been. Final hour this could be, and we start in Montgomery with I-Man. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon there, Paul Feinbaum, live from the Capital City, the cradle of the Confederacy. You know, Paul, I heard you pretty much run Notre Dame out of the playoffs. Oh, they suck. They can't do it. They got one of the best losses in the country.
Good for them.
And according to all the what?
I said good for them.
Yeah, yeah. And Alabama's got one of the best losses in Florida State. And there's quite a few teams that have a good loss, but they don't control their destiny. What we're seeing, the way things play out, some of these teams won't be in the conversation. The most amusing thing was, for 2 weeks, we listened to the Bammers chastise Nick Saban and everybody else. They wanted him gone. They wanted everybody gone. They didn't want the quarterback. They even booed the quarterback at the game. And worried about the Auburn Tigers. And Auburn, everybody knows Auburn's rebuilding. Auburn's not playing desperate. We're not sitting here screaming and hollering and crying like maybe the Bammers have been. And then Legend comes on, and, you know, he's just Mr. Pitiful, just Mr. Pitiful. Oh, I wanted to reach down and pet him on top of the head. And then Alabama wins the ball game, and I picked three winners. You know, and you got to love it when the Bammers are so full of themselves after a win that they did not participate in. But that's who they are, and that's what they will always be. And now they're trying to get those T-shirts off that ship to the third world countries because they think they got a chance. But then that ship sailed. That they ain't getting them T-shirts back. And they ain't no sense in printing anymore. But I love it when the Bama fans come back, oh, we got it figured out. You go back to halftime. Just go back to halftime. And the way y'all built Ole Miss, oh, Ole Miss is probably the best team left on their schedule. Oh, yeah. You know, the way you manipulate these people is kind of like at an elementary school at the fall festival when they put the little fish hook over the curtain, you know, in the doorway, and some teacher back there puts something in the clothespin, the little kids are so happy. You just do that to them. You just jiggle the Bammers around the way you want to. You just roll them like dice. Roll them like dice. And then you stand back. Baby need new shoes. Roll them dice. You have used the Bama fan beyond what is normal practice of human beings treat each other for 20 years. You built this program and your reputation squarely on the back of using the Bama fan. And you own so much space in their head, they ought to be paying you to rent their bodies to where they can go home
there. You must be talking to somebody else. I don't recognize any of this.
You own the Bammers. I mean, you looked out there, you and Pat Smith said, this is a good idea.
Pat Smith's idea. I wanted no part of it.
Of course you didn't.
All his fault.
But you're the man that's answering the phone right now, right?
Well,
now.
He gave me the idea. I mean, he's, we were like Lennon and McCartney. I mean, we collaborated.
And now you all hear, you know, you holler and come together, and then you say, beat them up down the road. Why don't we do it in the road? I mean, you day tripping and Norwegian wooden and yesterday and all at once. And then
you know, I'm a paperback writer.
and alone again, naturally, that's what Nielsen said. And you know, Paul, the way you just use these people on this program fascinating.
I have to counter that by saying I don't use anyone. I'm here out of love and affection and trying to make the world a better place.
And if you need a friend, just call. I'll be there. I mean, you give that phone
winter,
number
spring,
out.
Summer
and you
or fall.
Look,
especially
right.
Fall.
Especially in the fall. And if it leaks over into the first of the January period, you swing a mighty mean hammer year round when it comes to the Bammers. I mean, and if you don't like them, you toss them aside. Just toss them aside. But I'm sure now that the Bammers have been to the Pet Cemetery and they've been rejuvenated.
Well, that was a good
They reincarnated. They man-eaters now. But
if I could pause for 1 second. While the Bammers were beating the University of Mississippi, I was out there at Aggie Park watching your team get run over like roadkill.
You'll probably see that again this week.
Well, I think most
we're building the team.
Oh, you're building the team.
You know that. Everybody knows that.
Pell City buddy.
Well, I mean, we fans, and we're pulling for them, win, lose, or draw. That's what the Allman Brothers did. Win, lose, or draw. They're my team. Unlike the crybabies that come on this program, they pull for the team in Tuscaloosa. And Manuel, I really like Manuel's call. I mean, Texas come in, and they hadn't even got here yet, and they already own the SEC. They stepped on the rat poison in Tuscaloosa and looking squarely at the Georgia Bulldogs and the I think it's going to be interesting when Texas and Oklahoma get here. And I'm looking forward to it. I'm just sitting back enjoying the season.
I wish it was today.
Yeah, I do too, because I picked three. We back. Roll damn Tide, War Eagle. Have a good day.
He's like I-Man. You know who I-Man has taken out of his repertoire since last Saturday? Nick Saban. No hair dye jokes, no trips to Italy. It's like a, one-hit wonder convention. Chris is in Georgia. Hello, Chris.
Hey, Paul. Man, it seems like I might be part of the Lonely Hearts Club band.
Yeah. I would say I think it was more. I don't know about Sergeant. I think it was more on the Magical Mystery Tour. Never came down.
Yeah, he's on that yellow submarine.
Well,
I got you.
He was up there with Lucy in the Sky with Diamonds.
Yeah, so, Paul, I want to be the rational Georgia fan that calls into your show. So my concern with Georgia is not – I've heard people talk about Bobo, and I'm not really concerned about Bobo very much. I am concerned, very concerned about their running game. So in my opinion – Georgia needs to be gaining more than 130, 140 yards against UT Martin, against Ball State, rushing the ball. So my question is, I know that Georgia's their running backs have been depleted. They've got some injuries and all of that. But in my opinion, third and fourth string running backs at Georgia should still be running for 200 yards against Ball State and UT Martin. So my question is, it seems to me like the offensive line is not anywhere close to as dominant as they've been in the last couple of years. And I'm concerned about that moving forward, actually going into SEC play.
Yeah, I mean, either that's true or Kirby Smart is like keeping his best players locked up until SEC plays, until this weekend. Because, this does not look like the same Georgia team. And
for sure, that's my hope. My hope is that they've just been vanilla the first four games.
Well, I think. Well,
my concern is that they've not been physical.
Yeah, I mean the South Carolina game caught them by surprise, but if you saw the video of Kirby Smart at halftime, which we played here a million times, he looked like he had just been given a gift. That's the most excited I've seen Kirby Smart since the national championship game, because I think he knows he finally was able to get their attention. Now, last week you weren't going to get much out of it, but I expect Georgia to start looking like Georgia again very soon. Thank you for the call. We are next with Carol, who is in Houston. Hello, Carol.
Good afternoon, Paul. How are you?
We are doing great. Thank you.
Good. I tried to call yesterday. Paul, I wanted to tell you how much I enjoyed your show Friday afternoon. I was driving into College Station from Houston and loved your interview with Billy Liu. She's so, so entertaining. But in particular, Paul, I loved your interview with interim president, former General Marsh. That is such a good man, and he spoke so well about the brotherhood of the military, and it really
yeah, for those who missed it, we had Mark Welsh on at the end of the show. He's a retired general who took over the presidency at A&M, and it's easily one of my two or three favorite interviews of the year, because I mean, you can't help but be in admiration of somebody who has accomplished what he has in his life. But just talking about his father and everything that inspired him to want to go to the academy and make the military his life service was just unbelievable.
Absolutely. And I know that most of your listeners listen in for all the regular callers and the silly, stupid things that people say when they talk smack. But, Paul, you actually are a journalist, and you did such an excellent job with that interview and with Liucci as well, but especially with General Marsh. Just my hat's off to you. It was really fascinating listening to him and hearing things that I, as an ag, did not know. And I loved the way his feelings about the military really are, I think, reflective of how we feel about A&M. I hope that when you were on campus and in town, you were treated graciously. One of the things that we pride ourselves on whenever we host home games is for folks from all the various states to say how well received they were and how hospitable they find us. And I hope that you had the same experience.
Well, Carol, I can tell you I did.
I just want to thank you.
I mean, from the moment I arrived until we left, the Aggie people were so great, and they always have been. I've really gotten to know a number of people out there and become friends with Aggies through various events, and it's an extremely special stop for us. Thank you for sharing that thought with us, and we will take a short break. We're back after this.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
We're back, and Walter is in Louisville. Good afternoon, Walter.
Hey, afternoon, Paul. Enjoying the show.
Thank you.
I'm not going to name names, but it starts with an I. If you're an Auburn fan, didn't you have like a year of complaining about a coach they didn't want and how they ran things and everything? I just find it fascinating that Alabama finally gets their feet underneath of them for somewhat. I mean, it's one game. Let's not call them champs yet. But it's just one of these things where people want to point fingers and laugh, and I find it fascinating that Auburn fans get up there, they don't talk about their team. They rather talk about their crosstown rivals. And it's like my grandfather always used to say, never argue with an idiot because a bystander may not be able to differentiate the two.
That's correct.
So did I-Man get hit? I'm going to reference your Beatles song. Did I-Man take a blow with Maxwell's silver hammer? Love you, Paul. Catch you later.
Man, it's Beatles night here on the show. Ramsey is in Alabama. Hello, Ramsey.
Hey, good evening, Paul. How are you, sir?
We are doing well. Thank you.
Yes, sir. You know, I sit back and I listen to all the talk about Alabama quarterback, this, that, whatnot, or the other. You know, we've been hearing this since the Texas game. Well, we're going to flip it today, and we're going to talk about Auburn Tigers quarterback and how Auburn paid Thorne, that's his name, $300,000 to come to Auburn, bought him a $70,000 truck. Ooh. To go out and perform the way he's performing, take it all back. That's all I can tell him.
Well, you're certainly got some intel there, don't you?
$300,000 cash, $70,000 brand new truck, and I'm speaking facts to you.
Yeah, no, I'm not disputing that, Ramsey. I've never heard those numbers mentioned, but I do appreciate you sharing them with us.
And they need to worry about their quarterback and the trash that they done bought that's not performing up to his standards.
I appreciate
it. And the man that just called talking about Alabama, I love to tell him, roll, tie, roll.
I hear you. Hey, Ramsey, thank you.
Yes, sir.
Thank you. $70,000 is a lot of money for a truck, isn't it, Randy? That's out of our range right here. That's a lot higher than I ever hoped to spend. I was looking for something for about $4,000, just to match my first car. Paul is up next. Good afternoon.
Hello. How you doing, Paul?
We are doing great.
Well, I wanted to talk to you about all those so-called experts that were shaming Nick Saban in Alabama last week.
Right.
And you know what an expert really is?
I do not. What is that?
Well, you take the word apart, X and spurt. X is a has-been, and a spurt is a drip under pressure.
Ooh, I love that.
And that's the way I listen to these guys. They talk and just make all kind of statements, and it proves them to be wrong. I just wait until the ball game. Of course, I was worried during the first half of Alabama's game, but they finally got their feet under them on that second half, and I was real proud with the way they played. I'm still enjoying listening to the so-called experts that's still calling in. But I enjoy your show, Paul.
Thank you very much, Paul. You take care of yourself, and we'll talk to you soon. Jay is up next in Mobile.
Roll Tide, Paul.
Jay?
Hey, I can you hear me?
Yes, sir.
All right. Thanks for taking my call, Paul. Paul, I wanted to talk about Dion in Colorado, and I'm not referring to the caller that got you stirred up earlier at all, not referring to his call. Anyway, personally, I think he's great for college football, Paul, but it amazes me how many haters he has. I've seen so much social media, people trashing him over that butt-whooping they got from Oregon. It's the man's first year, people. Give him a break. This Colorado team, they started from scratch. I mean, he completely gutted the whole team.
Well, but Jay, but anyway, you're a smart guy. If you go back in the history of the world, I'll side with those who have all the hatred spewed toward them, some of the most important people in the history and in all of our lives have been hated and despised. I think that's a compliment.
Anyway, Coach Prime, keep doing what you're doing.
Okay, thank you. I mean, I'm going faith and religion and beginning of Christianity. And in other words, let's go back to Coach Prime. Didn't want to get too heavy there. He ain't heavy. Man. It has been quite a music night. David is up next. David, good afternoon.
Hello, Paul. Hi. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can. Thank you for calling.
I got about three questions I need to ask you, and I'll let you go.
Okay.
The first question is, they've got Texas in the nation ranked 1 or 2 right now in all the polls. Do you agree with that?
I do not.
And the reason I was asking is because Alabama had 2 penalties that cost them 2 touchdowns, or they would have beat Texas. If Alabama would have beat Texas, would you have them up there at 1 or 2?
If Alabama had won that game, I probably would have them. I tell you what, I don't know who the number one team is right now. Washington's probably played better than anyone. Florida State has had the most. I would put Alabama in the top 3, yes, had they won the game.
If they went out the rest of the season, would you put them in the playoffs?
Absolutely. 100%.
I mean, I know they ain't putting the points up like they usually do every
Doesn't
year.
Matter.
But, I mean, if they find a way to win out, would you have them in the playoffs?
Count up. Bank it. Now, Alabama's not done, in theoretically at all, but, you know,
I don't think
there's anybody on Alabama's regular season schedule that they can't beat or probably won't be favored against.
And would you put them in the playoffs if they win out, even if they win the SEC championship?
That would be a slam dunk, 100%.
Because right now they've got like Texas and Georgia 1-2 all the way.
Yeah.
I mean, and the way I look at it, Texas shouldn't be ranked that high because if Alabama hadn't had them two penalties, they would have beat them.
You're right. You're absolutely right. Well, hey, so thank you. Appreciate your call. You bet. Alabama's not out of it. Alabama's never out of it. It doesn't matter how many times they get knocked down. Dale is in Georgia. Hello, Dale.
Hey, Paul. Yeah, it's funny how people handle information. If they want it to be true and it's what they want to be, they hold on to it. If it's not, they forget about it. I know that before the season started, I heard from two or three different sources that Alabama had less productivity returning from last year's team than any team in the Southeastern Conference. And nationwide, they was the sixth most inexperienced football team in the nation. So I'd hold on. I don't think we played that bad against Texas until the fourth quarter. We just come unglued. Nobody can explain that South Florida. But, you know, if you ever been on the learning end or the teaching end of stuff and it's just not coming to you, and then all of a sudden there's a click.
I think we might have heard a little click
in the second half the other night. I think our offensive coordinator is starting to figure out the kind of plays he needs to call, considering the offensive line inexperience and Melrose's talents. I agree with you. I think, of course, anybody can beat us, but we can go undefeated the rest of the regular season.
I mean, I'm trying to think right now, and I mean, A&M will be a fairly narrow. You know, everything depends on so many other things.
But,
I mean, LSU on paper looks like the best team remaining on Alabama's schedule, but they have landmines all over the place, including Saturday night.
Yeah, but experience carries a lot of weight in any sports. So let's just see what the time we get around to the 10th game or so.
Okay.
Let's see how that offensive line is looking. Because, you know, we had two or three nice runs up the middle in the second half the other night.
No, there was one hole. There was one hole a mile wide. Hey, thank you for the call. We're up against the break. We have 30 minutes remaining, and we are back right after this.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
SEC Nation heading to the Bluegrass. Saturday morning, Marty and McGee and then Nation at 10 Eastern, getting you ready for Kentucky hosting Florida. We are back. What an afternoon it's been. And who better to make sense out of it all? Legend is next.
Woo! Woo! East Coast.
Legend,
Black
if you didn't call, I was calling you after I-Man's call.
That was pretty pitiful right there, Paul. That was pretty pitiful, man. You remember when he was on here last week talking about what if Auburn goes down to Texas A&M and beats A&M, and what if the Bammers get beat on Saturday night? What if you're a lunatic and don't know nothing about sports and ought to keep your mouth shut? What if? I mean, that's not a Beatles call there, Paul. That was a Bee Gees call, man. That was a disco call. He can't even play rock and roll no more after that. That was pretty sad, Paul. That's about the saddest thing I ever heard. Let me get this right. Auburn's under the Build-A-Team program? We're going to build a team. How you do that, Paul? How you build a team down at Auburn? How you do it, Paul?
You need to have faith.
Yeah, you need a lot of damn faith. You need a lot of faith, brother. So let me get this right. Auburn gave a quarterback $700,000, and he's pure garbage. Yeller one! Better throw some more money. You better put a one in front of that seven, brother. You better put a one in front of that seven. That ain't going to get it. That's the small-town change there right there, man. Hey, Paul, I got a serious question for you. I'm not usually a question person, but I want you to kind of join in with me for a second. This line's got to be wrong here that I'm looking at. Does this say Georgia minus 14.5 at Auburn? Is that right?
That is correct.
What the hell, Paul? Has Las Vegas seen Auburn play? Or is Georgia just not that good this year, Paul? Which one is it?
You know about that South's oldest rivalry. You know how, and I-Man also was involved in making that line.
Let me ask you a serious question.
Okay.
If Oregon was playing Auburn this weekend in Auburn, what would the line be?
I would make it about 19.5.
What about USC? About 20?
Yeah.
What about Ohio State? 23, 24?
Higher.
How the hell is the three-peat world champion? So let me ask you this. What would last year's Georgia team be favored by this Saturday in Jordan-Hare, Paul? What would last year's team be favored by?
29.
Exactly. That's what I've been telling you, Georgia fans. It's simple as ABC 1, 2, 3, baby. You ain't got the same talent that you've had before. Vegas knows it. Auburn's pathetic. Pathetic. They're the Vandy of the West, and you're only favored by 14.5. That tells me a lot. The Leprechaun's not under center no more. The coaches ain't in the booth no more. You're visiting to see what Alabama has seen when you play a real team. Jalen Carter ain't there no more. The guy behind him ain't as good as Jalen Carter. Rohan Smith ain't there no more. The guy behind him ain't quite as good. 14.5. Give me a friggin' damn break. You ought to be ashamed, Georgia, to be going into the worst team in the SEC West, and you're only favored by 14.5, crying about a three-peat. That says every damn thing I want to know about the Georgia Bulldogs.
Yeah, but
Bulldogs,
you know,
look, right,
I'll just tell you, the line opened at 18.5.
18. Now, that sounds more like it a little bit.
Then it went down to 17, and now it's at 14.5.
Well, that lets you know everybody's on Auburn. They don't believe in Georgia. That's what that means right there. And as a 3-0 expert picker from last week, I know them things as a disciple of Daddy Shad. And stick that in your old geezer ass, Tim. Boom! 3-0 right there. Challenge me again. Hey, Paul, you said the most underrated player. Who is the most underrated player in the country? I'm going to give you one Alabama wide receiver, Jermaine Burton. I know he caught a lot of flack coming over from Georgia, Paul, but I don't know if you noticed Jermaine Burton been balling, dude.
Yeah,
he's been balling. That catch he made Saturday had all SEC written all over it. But I do agree what I heard Roman Harper say. Luther Burton of Missouri. That's a top-10 pick in the NFL draft right there. They got them a Jerry Rice-type player right there, brother. Hey, Paul, did you see where Tua put up 70?
Oh, yeah.
And what was so good about it, he put it up against a coach that was an analyst the year before and said they ought to replace him with Teddy Bridgewater the year before. Listen here, Denver Broncos, not only do you have a washed-up quarterback and a washed-up GM, but you got a washed-up-ass coach, too, that ought to keep his mouth shut. I mean, Alabama got Tua, we got Mack. You know that Jalen Hurts is 22-1 in his last 23 games in the regular season as an NFL starter? That's friggin' amazing, man. We got all that talent at quarterback. Paul, I need to know. Where's Georgia's talent? That team that developed so much better. I had seen Stetson. Has he got on the field? Has the love of God got on the field? No, he ain't got on the damn field and ain't going to get on the damn field. Hey, Paul, before I get off, I see the writer's strikes over with in Hollywood. Does that mean the Fine Bomb sitcom coming back?
I'm hoping. I mean, it may take a while, but we need to get that thing back in production.
Well, I hear Pee Wee Herman's willing to play Jim, come out of retirement and play Jim if we go on the show. And he's going to be played by Willie Nelson's drunk brother, Billy Nelson. So it's going to be a great thing. It's going to be like Seinfeld. I'm going to love it! Before I get out of here, let me just let y'all know one thing. Jalen Hale, Jermaine Burton, Pinterest, Bond, Alabama's wide receiver room, looking mighty good, baby. All you haters, we coming for you. Get damn ready. Woo! Black Hat has left the house. 14 and a half. Give me a break, Georgia. Gone.
Jim is next.
I got news for that fat fool. That's what he is, Paul. Did you hear what he said? Did you hear what he said? This is a so-called former preacher, a proposer and a pretender of a fake. He's not even close to a Christian. Did you hear what? I'll tell you what I'm outraged about. He said, not talking about faith. He said, you better have a lot of damn faith. That's what that fool said. This guy is not anything that you might think he is, Paul. He's a devil-bound, hell-bound, hater, scumbag. That's what he is. And I ain't old, you old fat ass. You're the one that's old. You're old in your mind. You're old in your body. You're fat and you're ugly. That's all I got. But that's a fact, Paul. I know I shouldn't say all that, but I can't help it. I can't help it. Thank you, Paul.
Thank you, Jim. We are coming back right after this message.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.